Today's reading is taken from Acts chapter 13, verses 4 to 12. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. They travelled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was an attendant of the proconsul, Sergius Paulus. The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind, and for a time you will be unable to see the light of the sun." Immediately mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
I hope you don't mind me wearing my jacket. I have a bit of a cold, so warning, if you approach me after for tea and coffee, I've got a bit of a cold, so I try not to pass it on. But the place we're talking about today, I don't need to wear one of these at all, because I know that many of you have lived in a hot place like Cyprus, which is beautiful. Has anyone ever travelled to anywhere exotic and nice and warm like Cyprus? Some of you have. And I think Nigeria is very, very warm and hot as well. So I can thoroughly recommend Cyprus as a lovely place for a holiday. We went there when Elijah was younger than Elisha. So that's a long, long time ago. Did you know they only have 40 days on average of rain a year? Wow, isn't that incredible? We can't picture it as people living in Britain. Do you know it's the third largest island in the Mediterranean? No? Some of you might know that. And if you were to say halloumi, it's not hello in Cypriot, it's cheese. I believe it's a mixture of goat's cheese and sheep, goat's cheese. Goat's milk and cow's milk is a mixture, and it's quite rubbery, something like that. And so that's why it's popular there, because it can withstand the heat. It's the first country to ever have their map on a flag. So if you ever see the Cypriot flag, it's got the map on it. It's the first country to ever do that. Apparently, Mark Antony gave Cyprus to Cleopatra, which is a fair old way from Egypt, isn't it? Okay, and last of all, there are lots of cats in Cyprus. Do you know that there's more cats than there are people living on Cyprus? I think we came within a whisker of seeing one of them. Oh dear. Anyway, this is the first stop on St. Paul's first mission. So if Paul was standing here and he said, what was the first place you ever went on mission? It started in Cyprus. And this is where Luke, the gospel writer who wrote Acts, this is the first time that he calls Saul, his Hebrew name, Paul, his Greek name. Because we've known from the last few weeks that the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost for the church in Jerusalem. It then went to Samaria. And remember, Peter went up and prayed for those who became Christians in Samaria. And it was only when Peter, who Jesus said is the leader of the church. The Holy Spirit came on the believers in Samaria. And then Jesus' last words before he went to heaven was to the rest of the world. And we know that then Peter went to Cornelius, who was a Gentile, a Roman centurion. And he prayed and baptized them, and the Holy Spirit came upon the Gentiles. And then we find out that the church is established in not only Jerusalem for the Jews, but Antioch for the Gentiles. And so we have God reaching out to everybody on this earth. And now with those churches established, the Holy Spirit. Now often we think of a lot of people talk about the Holy Spirit like it's some kind of power and electricity. I remember at college someone getting in big trouble for calling the Holy Spirit it. The Holy Spirit. Yes, it works. It's an it? It? I don't call you it. You're a he. You're a person. The Holy Spirit is not a power source. The Holy Spirit is a person. And we learnt last week that it's actually the Holy Spirit that set Paul and Barnabas aside and said, set them aside. So that's the background. The early church, of course, was persecuted, and there were many, many people that spread across the Mediterranean. And as as Paul and Barnabas go across, we see lots of Jewish communities living in North Africa, in the Mediterranean, and Cyprus was one of those places, of course, where the Jewish community settled. The Holy Spirit then brings Paul and Barnabas on a boat and send them off to Cyprus. Now, we don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us why Cyprus should be the first place, except, of course, anyone that looks at a map will see that Cyprus is not far away from Israel. So the likelihood is it's the next step going towards Rome. So over the next few weeks, we'll be looking at this first missionary journey. Did you know that Barnabas, who went with Paul, he was from Cyprus? So he was going home. So you can imagine Paul saying, Barnabas, our first mission is to Cyprus. Barnabas, also known as Joseph, was probably thinking, great, I can go and see my mum, or I can go and see my family. And he would have known Cyprus very well. Another little interesting fact about Cyprus is, did you know that Lazarus, who Jesus rose from the dead, he became, according to Christian tradition, the Bishop of Larnaca. Okay, so if you go to Cyprus and you go from the airport into Larnaca, there's a Church of Lazarus, and you can go in, and his skull is in a thing. It's quite gruesome for me. But anyway, that's another thing. Then, as we read this, we look at who Paul and Barnabas, it's interesting the company they keep. Now, Barnabas, of course, is son of encouragement. He's an encourager. But they also bring John Mark. John Mark was the one that Peter ran to when he escaped from prison. Do you remember last few weeks ago when the angel came? He came out of prison, and the first place Peter went to was Mary's house. Mary was the mother of John Mark. And tradition says that John Mark, was the writer of Mark's gospel. So Luke is writing about another gospel writer going, assisting Paul and Barnabas. So they go and they preach at the synagogue at Salamis, which is one side of the island. I've got to remember this because I'm facing you. So if Cyprus is here, Salamis is over here, Paphos is over here. So they sail to Salamis, they go straight to the Jewish synagogue, and they preach the good news there, and then they stop at all these little stops until they get all the way to Paphos, which is a really historic, beautiful place where Proconsul Sergius Paulus lives. And he's the person who is in charge of what's going on there in Cyprus. As I was reading this, I was thinking about this guy called Elymas. Elymas was, His name was Bar-Jesus, son of salvation. But Luke says he's a false prophet. He says a lot of things about Elymas. And he was there in the court of Sergius Paulus. And he was there to give advice, his opinion, and influence. And it got me thinking, we all surround ourselves with people we listen to. Unless we're a hermit and we live in a cave, we surround ourselves with people. The question is, who are you listening to? Who do you surround yourself with? What do you read? The books that you read, the television programs, everything that we watch, we read, we talk to, there's nothing objective. Everything's got a slant and a bias. In Sergius Paulus' case, he surrounded himself with a false prophet. The Bible is very clear about the occult. And I've met Christians who read their horoscopes. I have actually met, and they don't think there's anything wrong with it. This is what the Bible says about the occult. Deuteronomy 18, verse 10 says, "There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, one who uses divination, one who practices witchcraft, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer." God clearly says, don't get involved in the occult. And anyone that's involved in any social media groups about Louth, one of the things they'll see is there's lots of people coming to be mediums, seances, and all sorts. God says, don't get involved with it. He doesn't like the occult. Sadly, it's becoming normalised and popular. But God says, don't. And unfortunately, many Christians get involved and they don't see anything wrong with it. The fact that that is what God thinks about it is probably why Bar-Jesus, who was a Jew, was not living in Israel. If he lived in Israel, he probably would have been shunned and maybe worse. So who should we be listening to? We should be listening to the Holy Spirit. And we look at the part that the Holy Spirit plays in this mission. The Holy Spirit sends Paul and Barnabas to Seleucia to sail for Cyprus. He sets them apart and there Paul is filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus says something about being listened to. Jesus describes himself as a good shepherd. In John 10:27, he says, "The sheep know my voice and they follow me." We need to listen to the voice of Christ. We need to surround ourselves, therefore, with the right people. If someone you spend time with is causing you to stumble, then you need to spend less time with them. Maybe there's someone who you spend time with who is very cynical about life, and you find it like, oh, that's really funny, but you end up starting to be cynical. Or maybe with someone with bad language and you think, oh, you know, I'm with that company. People influence us. Music influences us. TV programs, everything influences us. We need to listen to Christ. Let's be influenced by him. Let's be careful with who we surround ourselves with. Now, linking on to that, test everything. Test everything. You will hear many sermons, podcasts, and you'll read books, but the Bible says we have to test everything. You need to test. You need to read the Bible to see whether you should test what I'm doing. So you need to test to see if you should test, if you know what I mean, being complicated. Now, there's a people called the Bereans in Acts 17. Put your hand up if you've heard of the Bereans. Not many. Acts 17, we're going to get there in a few weeks' time. There's a group of people called the Bereans. And what's amazing about this group of people, Paul comes along and Paul preaches and talks. Now, if St. Paul was here and he was talking to you right now, you think, oh, everything he says is wonderful. Not for the Bereans. Thank you, Paul, for what you've got to say. We're just going to check that you're right. Well, I'm St. Paul, I'm always right, aren't I? Yes, but you're human, and we're going to test everything. But what was great about the Bereans was they weren't cynical. It was like, there's something you said that's wrong. We're going to find it, and we're going to tell you that you're wrong. No, they weren't. They were enthusiastic. They were enthusiastic about the Word of God. We want to know the truth, but we want to test it. We want to make sure that what they're saying is correct. Now, we know from 1 Timothy 4, 7 as well that some people were getting into things that were a distraction from the truth. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. It's really important that you test everything. My hero, for those who want to know, was Steve Chalk. When I was a child, I grew up in Kent, and Steve Chalk was a youth pastor at Tunbridge Baptist, and he was a hero of mine. Now, I don't agree with everything he says. He has written books, and I'm thinking, no, Steve, what's going on? I don't agree with you. Now, you could be starstruck and think, oh, it's Steve Chalk, everything he says is wonderful. No, you test it. No, it's not right. And there's been some wonderful men and women of God who've produced some really good books, and 99% of the time, it's fantastic. But then they'll come up with something, and you have to say, no, I'm sorry. That's not correct. You can sell a book if you want, but I'm not going to agree with it. So test everything. We have to know our Bible really well, don't we? Because we're in a spiritual warfare. What is the Bible in our spiritual warfare? It is the sword of the Spirit. We need to know our Bibles because it's part of the armour of God. When Jesus was tempted, what did Satan use? Can anyone tell me? He used Scripture. He used Scripture. It says in the Word, Jesus, that if you throw yourself down, the angels, it comes from Psalm, I think, 91. But Jesus, of course, is the Word. And he knew the Word back to front. And he said to Satan, look, you're twisting the Bible. This is what the Bible says. Don't test the Lord your God. He knew the Bible. We need to know the Bible. So test everything. And finally, my final point is the Holy Spirit. Sergius Paulus chose to have a sorcerer, but he seemed to be interested in spiritual things. So he invited Barnabas and Paul to come and share God's word. Now, he's a Roman. Sergius Paulus is a Roman, and he's probably a pagan. I think in Cyprus. Have you ever heard of the Greek goddess Aphrodite? Well, that's her birthplace. So she would have been worshipped. He would have probably got involved with pagan worship. He got involved in the occult. But he was hungry for something more. And he heard about the word of God and said, Paul, Barnabas, I want to hear this wonderful news about Jesus. And that is really important to know that, yes, there are people out there that are witches. There are people out there interviewing cult. We need to pray against what they're doing, but we need to pray for them because they too need to know Jesus. And the people that go to these people are desperate. They're desperate for something in their lives that's spiritual, that's not material. So they want answers. We have the answer. He is Jesus Christ. But of course, when Paul and Barnabas get there, Bar Jesus, Elymas, doesn't like them. And there's a reason for this, because light and dark do not mix. In our youth group in Park Road, I demonstrated light and dark. I heated up some oil in a frying pan and I put a bit of water in. I won't do that again for health and safety reasons. But it is like water and oil, hot oil and water. Light and dark cannot mix. 2 Corinthians 6:14-15. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? The fact is, Paul and Barnabas came in the name of Christ. Bar Jesus was involved in the demonic. The light and dark cannot mix. And that is the same today. There are politicians who dislike you. There are politicians who dislike this church because we hold certain views. Street preachers have been arrested, targeted. People have been arrested for praying, simply praying. There are pressure groups that don't like us because we won't bend the knee, because we won't change what we believe. We hold on to God's word. Light and dark cannot live together. The interesting thing about this story is, what happened to Elymas was he went blind. Who else went blind? Paul did, didn't he? He was off to kill Christians. He was living in darkness. He met Jesus. He was blind. He had to go to Damascus, and he became a Christian, and God lifted the scales off his eyes. That's proof that God can rescue anybody from darkness. So we need to be praying for these people. Sergius Paulus saw all what was going on, and it said that he believed. It wasn't a trick. It wasn't a lie. It wasn't a distorted truth. Paul and Barnabas gave him the good news. Jesus Christ is alive, and you can have Jesus in your life. And he believed. We have to remember, although it's all scary, some of the things that you read about the occult, what is living in you, the Holy Spirit, is stronger and greater than what's in the world. 1 John 4, verse 4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. We're in a spiritual battle, but we've won. The reason why the cross is so important is because Jesus won the war. The Holy Spirit living in you is far stronger than what's out there. And if you ever meet someone who's a Christian that was once upon a time involved in the occult, the one thing they will tell you is, it was Jesus. They couldn't stop Jesus. They couldn't put a curse on Christians because of Christ. There's something different about Jesus Christ. And we have Jesus, and we shouldn't fear. So let's be careful then who we listen to and who we surround ourselves and what influences us. Let's test everything and let's allow the Holy Spirit into our life and into our situations. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, on this Pentecost, we thank you that each one of us who know you have the Holy Spirit living in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that we are being transformed to be like you, Lord Jesus. Lord, help us not to be scared of a battle, but to have courage, because you are stronger than Satan, because you have won the victory. And Lord, we do pray for those who are involved in the occult. Lord, break them free. Break them free. Let them know you, Lord Jesus, and Holy Spirit, come and free them and release them. Lord, I pray that we'll be consistent and we'll be people of the word, your children. Amen.